ABC Radio Australia.
Now this week, the Kingdom of Tonga marked 150 years since the signing of its constitution, which is the oldest in the Pacific. In the capital, Nuku'alofa, there have been a number of events marking the occasion. Villagers from the country's east performed ancient songs for King Te Bol VI, known as Whakatakatofa, or traditional morning entertainment. His Majesty led a groundbreaking ceremony for the new Legislative Assembly building, also described as a symbol of Tonga's independence and the endurance of its democracy. And at the Royal Tomb, Mala e Kula, community leaders laid wreaths to remember Tonga's past leaders who shaped the nation's identity under the 1875 Constitution. Our Tonga reporter, Marion Cooper, was at this week's festivities and spoke to locals about what the constitution means to them.
Freedom, peace, celebration,
marching,
being Tongan,
me,
pride, mate mā Tonga.
I'm very grateful that we have a constitution. Because we should have one. I think every country should have one, and we should follow likewise.
Constitution means is gathering all our population and our people of Tonga in believing in one thing, and that is love, respect, and humanity for each other.
One of the unique things about the Kingdom of Tonga, not known to a lot of our people back in Australia, is that in 1853, His Majesty King Te Bol I visited Australia to the colony of New South Wales. And back in 1875, he, of course, wrote up the Constitution of the Kingdom of Tonga, which is basically based on the blueprint of both the Kingdom of Hawaii's Constitution and the Constitution of the colony of New South Wales. It's a very unique link between New South Wales and Australia and the Kingdom of Tonga.
And that is the sounds of our locals there in the Kingdom of Tonga with Marion Kupu on that report. Meanwhile, in the diaspora, what significance does the Constitution hold and how are our Tongans abroad remembering this day? On the line is Tongan community leader from Aotearoa, New Zealand, Pakilau Manaselua. Then I say maratau mai pongpongini, Pakilau.
Malele, Aggie, good to be on your show.
Absolutely. Well, Pakilau, happy Constitution Day. I would love to know, could you at least maybe just tell us the significance of Tonga's Constitution of 1875 and what it actually maybe have represented at that time?
One word, I think, encapsulates for me what the Constitution means, and that's freedom. And that's enshrined in our constitution. In fact, it's the first part of the very first clause. There are three parts to the constitution. The first part talks about the declaration of rights, and the second part is the form of government, and the third one is around land. But the very first part of it talks about freedom, and to me, that's what the constitution of Tonga talks about. And that's why I think Tongans are so extra, you know. We go over the top because we celebrate the fact that, one, we were never colonized by any foreign power. Two, we have a constitution that's one of the oldest in the Pacific. In fact, it's probably one of the oldest in the world in terms for a nation state. And so I'm really proud of that. And I think all Tongans around the diaspora hold that sense of pride for a tiny little country to have these great things that we can be proud about.
Yeah. Pakilau, what do you think was King George Te Bol the first's sort of vision when he actually established the constitution?
I think it goes right back to 1839 in a place called Bowono in Lava'u, where King Te Bol I freely gave Tonga to God. It's a process called the Tukufonua. Mm-hmm. So he literally grabbed a handful of soil, threw it up in the air, and he said to God, "This kingdom is yours." And from there, that declaration of his Christian faith helped to also keep Tonga free from being taken over by the other foreign powers, who were largely Christian, mainly European at the time, and they were taking over islands all over the place in the Pacific. So that helped. But also the fact that he promulgated some codes. At the same time, he had the Hapai Code of Laws, and then in the 1860s, he put together the emancipation of slavery, of serfdom in Tonga. And that really helped to, again, set a mark for Tonga in the international stage, that it's a civilized country, Christian country, and a country that can look after its own. And then, of course, the culmination of that was the constitution in 1875, mm. which really set it apart.
Yeah, you're talking about that tuku whanua. I'm sure many Tongans have grown up knowing that story and being part of the constitution. Do you feel like that really has set Tonga apart from other Pacific nations, especially during that period?
I believe so, because take, for instance, in Europe as an example, the case of the British case, where the king there at the time was pretty much the supreme ruler. He had absolute power. And so the barons and the people of the land fought against the king, and hence why they had a Magna Carta, which basically set some laws and rules. I think it's around the 11th century or something like that. And the Magna Carta became their set of rules. But that was won by force. The difference with Tonga and our king was that it was freely given. There was not a war, you know, in terms of when he tuku whanua to God. It was done freely by the king, basically offering his own power up to the divinity, to God. Mm-hmm. And so that was a thing that I think Tongans are proud of, that our freedom was given freely. And hence why Tongans go overboard when they give freely of their love. You know, you saw that in the celebrations of our MMT here in Auckland recently, and it coincided with the 150th anniversary of our constitution. So it, you know, almost was a divinely bestowed that we had the MMT game here at the same time.
Well, I think that leads me to my next question, because, yeah, how do you feel the constitution has shaped Tonga's sense of, you know, national identity, even sovereignty over the years, especially for those of us in the diaspora?
Absolutely, and I think it also stems from what I recall, the King Tupou the First visited Sydney in 1863, I believe. And in that visit, he saw something that really moved him, and that was Indigenous peoples of the land, Aboriginal people, First Nations people of Australia, being landless, homeless on their own land. And that really moved the King. And he did not want that to happen to Tonga, which galvanized him even more to ensure that Tonga was never, ever taken over by a foreign power, and that it was secure and protected. And so hence why the Code of Laws, the Emancipation Act, the Constitution, and I must say also that the Constitution borrowed heavily from other constitutions like Tahiti, Hawaii, the New South Wales Constitution, to formulate the wording and to make sure we had a government, a form of structure that the Western powers could recognise. And that's why they pretty much left Tonga to its own devices.
Well, Pakilawa, as we mark, you know, the 150 years, what sort of lessons or values from the Constitution do you think still resonate today? And I ask this particularly for, you know, our younger generation.
It's, I think, the concept of matiaki whanua, and again, it stresses the land bit, you know, and the land is precious for us as Tongans, because we have the whanua, which is your afterbirth. When you're born, your umbilical cord is buried, or the placenta is buried in the land. Hence the word whanua is the same for the womb and for the land. And then when you die, you're put back into the land. And so that concept of land, whanua, is powerful in our culture. And this concept of matiaki whanua, which literally means to die for your land, is the origin and the foundation of the Mate Mā Tonga name. Hence why Tongans go overboard when they hear that MMT, that Mate Mā Tonga. It's that fire, that absolute mana of knowing that your land is there. It's solid. You can always go back. You can always return, and you will never lose it. And that's why we are so proud of our constitution, which enshrines that protection forever.
Always, always. Well, how are you and the Tongan community there in Aotearoa, Pakilawa, celebrating this significant milestone?
Oh, I think you know what we're like here in Auckland, Aggie, and you know the flags were out. We had probably every Chinese shop in Otahu who ran out of red Tongan flags. People were borrowing the Canadian flag, the Swiss flag, any flag that looked red. Samoan flag has lots of red in it. So
I think
we
I saw a KFC flag too.
Exactly, KFC flag. Whatever had red was pretty much taken over by the Tongan community, and it was wonderful to see. You know, there were reporters from staff, other media here who were at the game on Sunday, and they were just blown away at the level and just the way that we celebrate. And we were probably a really good example of good sportsmanship, because we cheered just as loudly for the Kiwis as we did for our own team. And in fact, when we sang the national anthem, we sang the New Zealand national anthem just as loud as the Tongan national anthem, and didn't boo the haka. You know, so we won a lot of fans from around the world at the way our people celebrate, at the way they did that respectfully, and also honouring the tradition of the tuku whanua, and that God is the centre of our culture.